I'm here with Brooke Devlin, the research dietitian for the time-restricted feeding study. Brooke, could you please start by telling us a little bit about yourself and describing this study?
Yeah, sure. So as you've mentioned, I'm the research dietitian here at ACU, where I am involved in a lot of different studies that have a diet intervention. So I organise what participants eat throughout the study period. Now, this particular study, it's researching the body clock, so what's also known as the circadian rhythm. Now, when we sleep and when we wake up, that process sets the body clock, but it's also known that the time that we eat food also sets the body clock. Now, it's recently thought that there's disruptions that take place day to day that potentially lead to obesity and other diseases like diabetes. So disruptions to the body clock can potentially be detrimental to our health. So the point of this study is to investigate the timing of when we eat food and how that influences the body clock. So in particular, whether we eat food over a really large or wide window in the day, so from very early in the morning to very late at night, compared to a shorter time window, so perhaps from mid-morning until early evening. So the whole point is to look at what time is best to least disrupt or improve the circadian rhythm or the body clock to improve, human health.
Are there any possible benefits or compensation for people who participate in this study?
Yeah, certainly there's a lot of benefits. First of all, you're involved in a world first study, and there'll be lots of different tests that you'll have taken. For example, you'll get a detailed body composition analysis, you'll get a detailed dietary assessment, there's blood tests, but you'll also learn the most beneficial time for you to consume your food and how that changes your circadian rhythm, because we do get provide all the results for the study. In regards to compensation, yes, there is a payment for being involved in this study, because we do ask particular things for you to go through, and that amount is $2,500.
What might we learn from this study?
There's a lot of things that we can learn from this study. It's actually the first time that a study like this has ever been done in humans. So we know from animal studies how the circadian rhythm works in animals, but as we would know, humans are very different to animals, although for research we can learn a lot from animal models. But I guess the main thing would be is we would be learning how the different times of which we eat, and we know that lots of people eat at different times, how that actually changes the circadian clock or the body clock, and what that actually means for, I guess, health down the track. Because it'd be a key thing if there's a lot of information out there about how to change your diet and how to make differences to improve your health. But if it's just a simple thing of eating dinner at 6 o'clock instead of 9 o'clock, then a study like this can be really beneficial for that.
What impact could that have on individuals in the future?
So I guess leaning on from that answer, it could have a really large impact for on the individual level, because as I mentioned, if an individual is trying to lose weight or has a particular chronic disease like, for example, type 2 diabetes, there's a large scope for a study like this to translate or be applied to the health care system in order to improve, I guess, their health and reduce any risk of developing something like diabetes.
And what impact could that have on society at large in the future?
Yeah, so I guess similar to at the individual level, but from a society level as well, I think it being the first study that like this that's been done in humans, it's going to be that initial first stepping stone to learn, well, what's actually going on and is there a relationship between the time in which we eat food and different changes in this body clock, and then how that can then be transformed or translated to, I guess, dietary information guidelines or information about, for shift workers and when they should and shouldn't be eating if they're trying to manage their diet and their health. So there is a lot of potential for this information from a study like this to be to benefit the society, but I guess it's that first initial step where we're going to learn a lot from this study that will then likely lead to other studies, but then hopefully then transform into, I guess, best practice guidelines for at what time people should be eating their food.
Brooke, what kind of people are needed to make this research possible?
Yeah, okay, so I guess being involved in research is really important. So I think we would be after people who have an interest in, I guess, their or wanting to improve their health, people who would be, I guess, committed to the project and want to learn something out of it and also be committed to helping the science community. I guess another thing to mention is the study itself, because we're doing this sort of study in humans, we need to obtain blood samples and we also need to obtain muscle biopsy samples, which sounds scary, but we talk you through the whole process. And essentially, yeah, we would need people willing to be able to undergo both those procedures. And I guess another point to make here is that the study involves looking at the body clock. So it's looking at these measures around the clock. So it's looking at 24-hour cycle. And so with that, we would require participants who would be willing and able to come into our laboratory and stay for a 24-hour period. Obviously, during that time, we feed you, we look after you, but you would be having the measures taken at different periods throughout that 24-hour time point. And that's why, because we're asking these things, there is the benefits, as I've mentioned earlier, in that you get all the results, but you also get compensation for your time and commitment.
Are there any questions that people have when they're considering whether or not to participate in this study?
Yeah, so there's often a few little questions. We do explain everything in a lot of detail, and we give you a tour of our facility so you get really familiar with what you're committing yourself to and what you'll get out of it and what's actually involved. The key thing, I think, for a study like this would be, firstly, in regards to the food, because obviously it's a study that's looking at the timing of food, but we actually provide the food to you. So, you know, what type of food is it and how does that work? The food that we provide is made or, I guess, produced by a professional catering company, as well as, you know, some food products from Coles as well. We do try and take into consideration personal preferences and previous studies that we've done that are similar to this, we've always received positive feedback from the food. And another benefit is that you get food given to you for the period of the study, so you don't have to worry about cooking or purchasing groceries. The other question would be in regards to muscle biopsies. Now, as I mentioned, these do sound a little bit scary and they can be, I guess, what we would call quite polarizing, in that some people hear the word muscle biopsies and think about it and would just completely say no, and that's completely fine. But like I mentioned, we do explain the procedure and they're all performed by a professional doctor who's done so many of these in the past. But what it feels like, it's a little procedure that's done on your outer thigh, so the top part of your leg where you have the largest area of muscle, and your leg is numb. So there's a little needle that means that you can't feel anything. So it's a little bit like when you get a tooth removed and they give a needle first so that you can't feel anything. So if you picture that, if you've had that before, you do feel a little bit of movement, but it's not actually pain. And what happens is there's a little cut that's about 2 centimetres long, and then the doctor removes then a little piece of muscle. Then afterwards it's just taped up. So many people in our lab have been involved in the projects and had the muscle biopsies themselves, and the people who will be explaining these to you if you do commit to the study, they'll be able to explain exactly what it feels like. But apparently afterwards, it's just like a little corky, as if you've got a bit of a bruise on your leg. Now, the key thing for this study as well is with these muscle biopsies is because we are looking at around the clock, there are a total of 6 muscle biopsies per day that you're in the lab for 24 hours. And there's 2 days in which you're in the lab for 24 hours. So all up, there's a total of the 12 muscle biopsies. But as we've spoken previously with the earlier questions, there's a lot of benefits to you as well as the society. So hopefully, yeah, you'll still be able to participate with the 12 biopsies.
Brooke, is there anything else that you'd like to add?
No, I think we've covered most things. I think it would just to give a little bit more information about how it may, what the study looks like, now that you know kind of the benefits and what it's about. It involves 2 blocks of 5 days. And for those 5 days, you eat the food that we provide you at set times. And on the 5th day, that's when you come into our lab quite early in the morning, and that's when the 24-hour period starts. And throughout that 24-hour period, again, we provide food, but we also, that's when we take the blood samples as well as the muscle samples. You'll be provided taxi vouchers to get to and from our lab. So, yeah, the main thing would be is being willing and able to visit our lab based at ACU in Fitzroy in Melbourne on 2 separate days for a total of 24 hours on both occasions.
Brooke Devlin, thank you very much.
No problem. Thank you.